trustees. The date is March 14th, 2013. The time is 6:40. Tony, can you please call the roll?
Mr. Coronado?
Here.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Here.
Mr. Medina?
Here.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Here.
Mrs. Quintana?
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez?
Present.
Mrs. Searles?
Here.
Item 2A is presentation from internal audit regarding final CHS newcomer admission process audit. Mr. Rodriguez.
Good evening, Board President Rodriguez, board members, Ms. Brigham. I'm here today to present the final part of the CHS newcomer admission process audit. As you remember, this audit has been divided into two parts. The first part was titled Investigation of Subpopulations and Student Cohorts, which was presented to the board on December 6, 2012. Since then, an additional finding has been found related to the investigation of subpopulations. Approximately 23 limited English proficiency, special education, and or at-risk students were targeted to be reclassified from the 10th to the 11th grade during February 2011. This conclusion was made based on an email found that requested transcripts for all 10th graders regardless of cohort to be used to perform a task. The details of the task were not mentioned in the email. The email was sent in January 2011. Interviews were held with the email sender and recipients to obtain details about the task mentioned in the email. According to an interview response, the task involved identifying 10th graders that had enough credits to be classified to the 11th grade. Internal audit then reviewed the 10th grade transcripts attached to the email, and approximately 246 students had enough credits to be classified to the 11th grade. The list of 246 students was merged with the file containing the actual mid-year reclassifications for 2011. Approximately 30 students were reclassified during February 2011. Further analysis indicates that five of the students were reclassified back to the 10th grade during February and March of 2011. Ultimately, it appears that 25 students were reclassified to the 11th grade and remained in the 11th grade throughout the 2011 school year. It appears that these students were targeted for reclassification and the reclassification standards were not applied consistently. The second part of the audit that I'll be presenting today primarily focuses on the evaluation of the internal controls related to the CHS newcomer admission process. The scope of this part of the audit primarily focuses on reviewing the process in place during the 2011-2012 school year. However, for certain areas, audit testing was expanded to include additional years based on the risk assessment and board direction. While the audit was being performed, internal audit would periodically provide updates to administration. Administration, in turn, would begin to work on solutions for the problems identified. For example, an out-of-country credit regulation, flowchart, matrix, and forms were developed. The conditions in this part of the audit report are as follows. Newcomer students during the 2012 school year were not consistently awarded foreign transfer credits. This conclusion was made by comparing the University of Texas at Austin Lucha Division credit recommendations to credits actually awarded. This comparison resulted in identifying courses where the credit for a particular course was not consistently being awarded to students. For example, for the transcripts reviewed, Lucha recommended 21 Algebra 1 credits be awarded. However, only 9 credits were awarded in Teams, which is our student information system. This type of inconsistency was found for numerous other courses. The inconsistency may have been caused by the lack of guidance and training related to analyzing foreign transcripts. In addition, the standard English language proficiency, commonly known as CELT test results, were used to determine the amount of transfer credit students would receive. This practice appears to be unaligned with policy FD Legal, which in summary states that records and transcripts from out-of-country students should be awarded based on the evaluation of course content and not English language proficiency. Foreign transfer credits, and this is condition number two, foreign transfer credits are not posted to teams on a timely basis. This conclusion was made by comparing the date that the foreign transcripts were received to the date that the credits were posted in teams. For the students reviewed, it took approximately 4.5 months for foreign transfer credits to be posted. Condition number three. It appears that 9 students were incorrectly reclassified out of the 10th grade during the 2011 school year. Of these 9 students, 6 students were reclassified to the 9th grade, 2 students were reclassified to the 11th grade, and 1 student was reclassified to the 12th grade. The explanation provided for the incorrect reclassifications was that they were made because of human error. Condition number four. Central and campus administration did not provide the necessary leadership and oversight to staff employees responsible for assessing and awarding foreign transfer credits. The lack of guidance resulted in a subjective, inconsistent, and untimely process. Condition number five. Written procedures were not in place for areas such as evaluating foreign transcripts, grade conversion, review and approval of foreign transfer credit recommendations, timelines, and roles and responsibilities. Other areas outside of the scope of the out-of-country credit process were also found to be lacking written procedures. These areas include grade level reclassifications, procedures for coordination between special education and academic language services when exiting LEP students, attendance credit appeal, graduation plans, personal graduation plans, and cohort placement. Condition number six. Foreign transfer credit recommendations were not reviewed for completeness, consistency, and accuracy. Condition number seven. Approximately half of the LPAC Language Proficiency Assessment Committee meetings that occurred between 2010 and 2012 were conducted in the absence of a parent representative or an administrator. Campus personnel expressed that it is difficult to recruit parent representatives since this is a volunteer position. Campus personnel also indicated that the instructional coordinator would attend in place of an administrator. The audit found that the instructional coordinator position did not qualify as an administrator. Condition number eight. Approximately 20% of the LPAC meetings that occurred between 2010 and 2012 were missing agendas. Condition number nine. Approximately 80% of the LPAC meetings that occurred between 2010 and 2012 were missing minutes. Condition number 10. The 2012 newcomer list obtained from the Academic Language Services Department was incomplete. Condition number 11, foreign transcript grades were not converted to local grades consistently. Mexican credits are assigned on a 10-point scale, which need to be converted to a 100-point scale for transfer credit. 2 different methods were used to convert grades during the auditing period. Method number 1, the grade on the Mexican transcript is multiplied by 10. For example, a 7.7 would convert to a 77. Method number 2, the grade conversion chart for Mexican to U.S. grades was used. Based on the chart, a 7.7 would be converted to an 84. Approximately half of the grades were converted using method 1 and the other half using method 2. It appears that method 1 will be the sole conversion method used going forward for CISD. Condition 12. The foreign school transcript audit form is not adequately designed to capture when the form was prepared, reviewed, approved, entered, verified, and filed. The redesign of the form is important in order to establish accountability and to ensure that foreign transfer credits are awarded within 20 days of receipt of the transcripts. Condition number 13. The ESL progress report and intervention forms were not consistently completed. This form is used to monitor progress for English language learners or students that have exited the program within 2 years. These forms are to be completed by the monitoring teachers and submitted to the EL facilitator. Audit results indicate that the forms are often not completed and are missing from the central binders where the forms are maintained. Condition number 14. A student that attended CHS during the 2010 school year was recommended to receive 6 foreign transfer credits. However, no transfer credits were actually awarded in TEAM. Condition number 15. 2 of 19 transcripts reviewed for 2012 graduates were missing courses taken in the Learning Center. One transcript reviewed was not updated to reflect the change from the recommended graduation plan to the minimum graduation plan. Condition number 16. Students can recover lost credit for failed courses by retaking the course in the Learning Center or taking a credit by exam. If the student retakes the course through the Learning Center, the highest grade that can be received is a 70. If the student regains credit through a credit by exam, the student can receive higher than a 70. Since both of these options relate to recovering credit for a previously failed course, internal audit recommends that the same rule be applied for both. Condition number 17. Student files contain multiple foreign transcript audit forms or credit recommendation forms. A pattern was identified where students may have a form on file recommending minimum credits, plus a separate form on file where additional credits are recommended. It appears that various options may have been created for awarding various amounts of credit, leading to inconsistent documentation. Condition number 18. Grades for 3 credit recovery courses taken at the Learning Center were incorrect. The students received a grade higher than a 70, which is unallowable. Condition number 19. 2 separate forms, the high school program credit form and the foreign school transcript audit form, were both being completed in the past when recommending foreign transfer credit. Completing both forms appears unnecessary since both forms capture identical information. It appears that a decision has been made to solely use the foreign school transcript audit form in order to reduce unnecessary work and redundant information. Condition number 20. The ESL Students Progress Classification Placement Reports, also known as student profiles, were incomplete in the section where progress is monitored every 6 weeks. The following conditions seem to have been caused by the limitations of manual processing, which often include a small percentage of errors. 4 LPACs were found to have occurred beyond the 4-week period. A home language survey, 1 of 30 was missing. A foreign transcript audit form, 1 of 30 was missing. A student took the tax-accommodated English language arts state assessment in 2012, however, there was no recommendation form on file, and an LPAC signing sheet was missing for the meeting held February 2010. To assist administration in addressing these conditions, internal audit prepared a pre-filled corrective action plan, including the recommendations of this internal audit, plus recommendations provided by the TEA. CISD administration has assumed ownership of the corrective action plan by reviewing and updating the corrective action plan as necessary. Some of the corrective activities have already been made. Internal audit will continue to monitor the progress of these corrective activities in conjunction with CISD administration, and will report the progress to the Board of Trustees during the monthly audit committee meeting. Are there any questions at this time?
Any questions?
Mr. Chair, the only thing that I wanted to point out that at the committee meeting we had, that's why we're requesting that the recommendations with respect to the compliance for these issues and preparation of all the policies and corrective action be placed on our compliance, regular compliance calendar to be monitored on the same regular basis that we monitor any other compliance issues with respect to the internal audit.
What was the high priority? Yes, sir, and that will be under your all committee.
That will be reported initially to the facilities, finance, and audit committee.
Is there any other questions? So we'll continue to monitor the progress with administration. Of course, the board will monitor as well. I know it's been a lot of long hours, a lot of hard work, and we're at least able to propose this chapter and move forward. The good thing is it allows us to create the policies and procedures that are going to move us in the right direction, going from a small district to a large organization. We need to make sure that we create the optimal policies, and I have the utmost faith in the administration in doing that. So, with that being said, I'll go to the next item.
Item 2B is presentation of TEA, NCLB, AYP, Federal Accountability, Special Accreditation Investigation. Ms. Brigham and Mr. Rodriguez.
School board, good evening. I'm going to read the TEA letter that we received and some comments that I have prepared. The Texas Education Agency has concluded its investigation at Cantor Independent School District with regard to manipulation of limited English proficient students in special education subgroups to affect the district's annual yearly progress AYP rating under No Child Left Behind Act Federal Accountability System. Initially self-reported by County TOISD in early December 2012, TEA's investigation independently found that manipulation of LEP subgroups, specifically involving students who are new to the country, recent immigrants, occurred during the 2010-2011 school years at Kanetu High School under the direction of the former principal of Kanetu High School. The former principal was instrumental and responsible for actions and decisions that were made to affect the AYP rating of KHU High School. However, this investigation did not find manipulation of the SPED subgroup in the evaluation of AYP at Kanyatillo High School or Aldenete Middle School. CISD leadership team self-identified, and this investigation confirmed that a number of procedural and regulatory compliance matters should be reviewed and addressed to ensure that federal and state program requirements are met. In conclusion, Kanetu ISD and the agency have agreed upon a comprehensive corrective action plan to address not only the deficiencies identified for the district, but corrective action plans for each student that was affected by the actions and decisions. To ensure full implementation, this investigation recommends an on-site focused monitoring visit to be concluded by the agency's Program Monitoring and Interventions Division to validate the progress and completion of the corrective actions. The agency stated that they were very appreciative that Kanetu ISD immediately self-reported its preliminary findings, cooperated fully in the investigation activities, and was prompt and responsive to all of the agency's requests. Self-reporting this situation to the agency was a unilateral decision by our Board of Trustees. Kanetu ISD did not wait for TEA's response or even for final internal CISD audit that we have tonight. CISD administration started corrective actions immediately upon finding irregularities. CISD administration used worked cohesively with our internal auditors to develop procedures for increased accountability and objectivity. Please note that our corrective action plan that was created by CISD, not drafted as a response to TEA, nor that necessarily drafted as a complete response to the internal audit, but based upon our internal functions and our need to continue to improve services to our students. As we continue to grow into a suburban school district, we must remain committed to developing a culture of high expectations, increased accountability to all that work with our children. To increase that commitment to our students so that they may receive a high quality education and that all students obtain this education. It is our number one goal to meet the needs of our students and community. I am proud of CISD's proactive response, proud of our students, and I'm committed to help CISD become a school district that will be identified with excellence. We have the staff, board, we have the faculty, and we have the students. We will be successful, we must be successful, because our goal is student success. I believe that KNTUISD, by taking a proactive measure, beginning with the board's action of self-reporting, is an indication of our increased value of transparency to our community. I am proud to be sitting in this chair with this board here. So it is my commitment to the Board of Trustees and to the community that we will move forward and we will make sure that all students receive the quality of education they deserve and desire. School board, do you have any questions or comments?
Just any questions? I do have a comment. I mean, this is a big opportunity, as you said, to create that district of excellence, and we're going to continue on for creating a culture of high expectations, making sure that there's accountability throughout that process.
Yes, sir.
So, thank you. Mr. Cornell?
You know, not only that, I think it's worthwhile to note that apart from the issues that we've not only investigated through our internal audit and administration, there are other things as well that we need to put forward with respect to even the federal and the state regulations regarding these issues. We can't just blindly also follow something that might be discriminatory, that I think is discriminatory on the part of both the state and the federal government.
Yes.
And I don't think everybody is paying attention to those issues. And I think it's time that we start associating with other districts in the state, maybe throughout the country, to really put forward a measure that changes these issues for the better. There's no expert around that can tell you that these students who come in from another country can really acquire proficiency in our language, in English language, in a year or less than a year or less than 2 years. So why is it that we are requiring that? Allowing this to happen, what accountability does that tell us? Does that tell the state? Does that tell us as people who supervise our teachers as to how these students are doing when some of these students may not even be understanding this exam? It's beyond me that has not been questioned by anybody in all these issues that have happened. And El Paso Independent School District is not the first district that this has happened to, where this has happened. You know, and I think it's about time that we start putting forward these issues before higher authorities. Not just our state legislature, but the federal government. And one of our board members delivered exactly a letter like that to our Secretary of Education, Arne Duncan, in person. We've yet to receive a response. Is that right, Lori?
That is absolutely correct.
We've sent a letter to Secretary of Education. We have sent such letters to our delegate, to our representatives in Austin, to the Commissioner of Education. And I don't think anything is being put forward. There's now a groundswell against these types of high stakes testing in our own legislature. And I think finally they're starting to realize that we're spending billions of dollars on trying to get our students to pass the test, and we're not educating them completely. And I think it's high time that we associate with other districts and other organizations to change these regulations that are not for the benefit of these students, not but for the benefit of the students that come into our district that we have to teach. You know, federal law requires that any student that we bring into our district that does not know English, that we are required under federal law to instruct them in their native language. Yet in less than a year, in less than 2 years, we're required to test them in English, when some of our own kids who have, you know, here have grown up in the district, and some of them are not able to pass the test in their own native English language. And nobody has said anything about that up until now. Shame on the entire school system of this country. I think we should all feel ashamed about that. I think it's discriminatory. We just had a lawsuit in Austin over the equity of funding in the state to school districts, and every single expert who testified in the Austin court testified that these students have at least take at least a minimum 4 years to acquire proficiency in English. And that still doesn't, I mean, then these lawsuits have happened since back since the Edgewood case, with these same kind of experts testifying. And nothing. Yeah. So I think we need to keep pushing, and I think we need to get with the Far West School Board Association. I think we need to get with TASB. I think we need to recruit a consortium of school districts. I think a lot of them along the border probably face, you know, to the same degree, very similar situations that we do. And I think it's high time that we put forward not just the correction action plan about making sure that our staff is following federal law and accountability measures, but we need to even question those. When something is discriminatory, and we don't do anything about it, you know, shame on us. It would be like Dr. Martin Luther King saying, it's okay that we have a law that discriminates against blacks and minorities, that they should ride the bus in the back. And they didn't challenge that. Well, he did. A lot of people did. And we have. The entire state hasn't. Shame on the entire system. Educational system, Texas.
Anybody else? I agree. You know, we need a challenge, and we need to do stuff that, you know, people don't think we can do, and make sure we do. The federal government or the state government does not want to take the appropriate actions like we need in that area. You know, it's critical for us to have this conversation. To make sure that we continue to have dialogue with our state representatives and our federal representatives on ways we could do, you know, what is the best way to go about it? How can we make sure that kids come first and that we're not discriminating, that we're providing a quality education to all of our students, and making sure that we're watching them grow to become productive and responsible citizens, which is part of our mission. And I believe strongly in our board, our administration, our staff, our teachers, our kids, that we will work together to make sure that we lead in the right direction. We need to start questioning that a lot more often. We did put an item on Tuesday of our monthly board meeting to address one of the bills that's possibly going through the House, which is Senator Ben DePute's bill, and starting to take a more proactive approach. And so it's time for us to lead and question this. We ask our teachers as professionals to question why, if something like this happens, to question it. And we need to question our federal government, our state government, to make sure that they address it. Again, I want to thank the way we set up our internal audit function, again, in 2006, has allowed us to provide the best practices to address the issue. The hard work from our internal audit, our staff, our administration, and our legal counsel, guiding us in the way. It's been a tough couple of months, but I'm proud of our board and the direction we're taking our district. We're headed in the right direction, and we can make sure that kind of deal is a school of excellence for all our students.
Item 2C, presentation from administration regarding proposed business and ethics policy. Ms. Brigham?
Yes, good evening, again, Board. Board President Rodriguez asked me to address some of the issues that we have looked at and the actions of those issues as far as how we're working with the internal audit of the administration. We have now the internal audit function that works in conjunction with the administration, and we work together to look at the problems that we might be looking at facing within the district and coming up with a solution. We also have the hotline, the internal hotline that we have, that employees can call unanimously, or anonymously, sorry, anonymously, not unanimously. Okay, anonymously, and they will and those calls are handled within days that we have. They will come and ask, administrators. They will call departments and look into that information. What we're going to do under the corrective action plan that we have presented to TEA, there's one item, item number 31. However, that one item is going to have a myriad of activities and timelines throughout the next school year. And what we're going to do is, myself and Ms. Martha Carrasco, the Executive Director of HR, will be handling some professional ethics training for the leadership, and that will be starting next month at the April leadership meeting. And I think that date is around the end of, right after the tax. So we took that into consideration. So in that leadership ethics training, we're going to be revisiting the student, the professional code of ethics, the DFBB, which is the local policy. And then we're going to also be looking at the handbooks and the employee conduct within those handbooks. You may say, well, don't they do that? Yes, we do that. However, in a renewed commitment to upgrading the professional standards of the district, we're going to now visit it. We will provide, and the board will get a copy of the PowerPoint presentation, the sign-in sheets, and that will be step one. However, we're going to also have, we have Region 20 that will be coming in and doing the Covey Effective and Ethical Leadership Training that will be starting this summer. and will be, all leadership team will be asked to attend, as will as the campus leadership teams. And that will be during our administrative leadership academy in July of this summer. Also that we're going to be addressing is effective professional communication, not only amongst each other, but with our community and students as well. So when Mr. Rodriguez asked for this, it was easy to look at because we already have, a policy. We have the policies in place. We're going to revisit those policies, like we're revisiting other policies. And the board started a program last year, which calls Because Nice Matters. So what we're going to do is we're going to dovetail on that, and we're going to create a KNTO character ethics training. And within this, it will be where we're going to add all these things that I just said, and we're going to add them into the atomic learning so that we expect everybody that we can see that they have seen it. What would, more importantly, for the coming year, we will present this to not only the leadership, but to every campus. And it's just to renew the professionalism at the campus, to renew the commitment to doing the right thing all the time. And sometimes the right thing is more tedious. But I do believe in the staff. I do believe that we can meet the board's goal in this. I met with Mr. Rodriguez prior to this meeting. He was very comfortable on how that one bullet is going to turn into about 8 activities with not only training starting next month in April, but that will be continuing now from now on that we'll be putting in. So I'm very pleased to announce that we're going to be doing that, and we'll be inviting and getting input from the internal audit team also. Do you have any specific questions?
I have just a comment. I hear ethics and I hear leadership, but what I'm not hearing is something that I think is absolutely key, excellence, and that we will accept nothing less than excellence.
And thank you for saying that. That's exactly what
it has to come straight to the front.
Yeah. And that's why when I look at the, and I could put that in your, I could put that into our packet if you're going to review of that, the Covey training, which is absolutely, it's excellence is the goal.
Thank you
for saying that.
Yeah, it's, I think, what this board believes.
Yes.
Anybody else?
Going back to that, it's the kind of deal character, the culture of high expectations, giving that culture high expectations, excellence, letting them know that we're all professionals and that if you need a question, something, make sure you question it. Uncomfortable and you realize that I'm not in the best question. If the answer does not come back, what needs to happen is, we have the hotline, we have our internal auditors, we have the law changed, I believe, in 2006, where there could be communication between the board. And so make sure that it gets addressed right away so we could address the issue. And so it's creating the culture of high expectations, but at the same time, letting us revisit that yearly when it comes to training to realize that, there's a code of ethics out there for professionals and that Deal has a culture of high expectations. We set the bar high. We're going to continue, looking at the corrective action plan that I'm proud of the administration, all the work, all the policies that are going to be coming in place to address these issues. It's been a lot of work. We've done that internally. The TEA has realized that we're internally going in the right direction, and they want to make sure we follow through, and believe me, we'll follow through. The board is going to monitor that as well. I'm sure the administration is going to follow and lead in that area, so it's critical to revisit that, and it's sort of, how can I say, it's that opportunity, to do something great and, changing that culture. We have a culture here, and we're going to increase that culture and continue to set those expectations high
and do what's right in the best interest of kids.
Absolutely. Thank you.
If nobody has any other questions, I'll take this to the next item.
Item 3 is executive session, and the time is now 7:20 p.m., and the meeting is to be closed under Texas Government Code, Sections 551-071 and 074, for discussion of personnel matters regarding possible recommendation for non-renewal of term contracts with certain employees and possible staff reassignments, to receive advice from legal counsel regarding personnel issues and the status of TEA audit and internal audit assigned audit tasks.